Welcome back to the PHSA podcast. My name is David Bickford. I'm the pastor here at Salmon Arm. This is a very special podcast series where I'm going to be sharing with you messages from our most recent conference in Prescott, Arizona, the Beyond Limits Conference, with a theme of to preach the gospel in the regions beyond from 2 Corinthians 10:16. I'm going to share all of the sermons from this conference series, and to include Greg Mitchell, our head pastor, Joe Campbell, Richard Ruby, Tom Payne, and many, many others during this series. So I'll be sharing these with you over the next couple weeks, and I hope you really enjoy these messages. If you'd like to see these messages in a video format, you can go to prescottpottershouse.com, where all of these will be available for you to view in a video format. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the messages, and I hope you enjoy them. God bless.
Life is an adventure. That's how you have to look at it. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. I am so grateful, all of you that have been here this week, your participation, your giving. Appreciate your patience and all that we just went through, but it's going to be worth it. We have more kingdom business to do tonight. So it's going to be worth it. Deuteronomy 28, we're going to read there. In 2023, NASA launched a space probe. They were aiming to reach what's called the Psyche asteroid belt. They're mapping the surface and collecting data of these asteroids, these floating objects in space. One of the reasons why is that some of these asteroids are mineral rich. They have huge economic value. There's one asteroid called the Davida. It is 202 miles in diameter. That's 326 kilometers. It is considered the most valuable asteroid in the belt. It has a resource value. The resources, the ores, the metals inside it, they believe it is worth approximately 27 quintillion U.S. dollars. I won't even tell you how many zeros that is. 27 quintillion is more than all the wealth that exists in the world today, and it is up there in the heavens, but it is untapped. The fact that it's in the heavens, it's not doing anyone any good. The scripture we're going to read, just one verse, God speaks of the treasures of the heavens. And my aim in this message is to open your eyes spiritually so you can see the incredible untapped resources that are available to us. I want to preach about treasures in heaven. Deuteronomy 28, just one verse, verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Treasures in heaven. Let's begin. I want to talk about the treasure house. This text is preparing God's people for relationship with him and to do his will. So he gives them in chapter 28 the blessings of obedience in relationship with God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, the beginning of the chapter. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessing, an incredible Bible word, to grant favor on another. But it is actually talking about adding a supernatural dimension to something or to someone. Think about the feeding of the 5,000. In Jesus, he takes five loaves of bread and two fish. The Bible says he broke it. He blessed it. He added something supernatural to what was there, and it became more than enough. That's what blessing is. It is adding a supernatural blessing. That dimension of blessing, it is built into having relationship with God. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. I'll bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In this text, God speaks to Abraham. He says, when you're in relationship with me, there is financial blessing, favor with people. They will view you favorably. People will want to help you. There is protection from attacks. Attacks, as Brother Stephen said, turn actually into our benefit. It blessing speaks about effectiveness in ministry and giving us the ability to then pass on blessing to other people. The dimension of blessing is the birthright of every believer. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's non-Jews in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That supernatural dimension should be manifest in the life of every believer. So now let's get to our text. Our text speaks of treasure. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. The word treasure is actually storehouse. The storehouse is the room, the rooms, or the buildings where supplies were stored up. We see this in Nehemiah 12:44. Some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings. These were temple supplies that were laid aside waiting to be used for temple ministry. Joshua 6:19 says, but all the silver and gold vessels of bronze and iron, they're consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury. Same word. Storehouse of the Lord. These were treasures that were laid aside so that they could be put to use at a later point in time for the purposes of God. So the idea of a storehouse or a treasury is that resources are stored up, they're waiting for you to draw upon them. Today, we would view this as like having savings in the bank. Any of you, if you have saved money saved in the bank, what that means in crisis, you can withdraw from the bank, which is your storehouse, to meet a need. Does your vehicle need repairs or there's a problem? You withdraw what you need. Is there a health problem? You make a withdrawal to meet the need. That is what it is. In times of purpose, like we did in the offering tonight, you can withdraw in order to accomplish God's purposes. If you are the pastor of a church, this would be like having the ability to withdraw money to purchase a building, to rent a suitable building, to be able to take money so that you can plant churches. Treasure is a storehouse, and treasure is the potential of every believer. Every believer, every pastor, every church can enter into this dimension of blessing called treasure. The key to treasure is that it must be stored up. So how do we store up treasure in heaven? The Bible says two main ways. Number one, we store up treasures through prayer. Prayer means we can ask for God's intervention in the earth. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the right of every believer. You can ask your heavenly Father, what is in heaven, all the power of heaven, I need it to come down where I live, in my unsaved family, in my ministry, in my finances, my health. I need you to get involved. But you know the problem with prayer is that for many people, they get frustrated because the effect of prayer is not immediately seen. We ask, God says ask, and he'll intervene, and many times, young converts, even older converts will come and they'll say, I'm asking, but nothing's happening. Why? Something wrong with me? Is something wrong with God? Because the assumption is, if I'm asking and nothing's happening, that means my prayer didn't do any good. But all, listen to me, the power of those prayers are being stored up in heaven. How do I know this? Revelations 8:3, an angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar that was before the throne. So now God is allowing us to see into heaven, and he's saying that the prayers of the saints are being stored in heaven, but then they were being poured out. Acts 10:4, Cornelius, your prayers and your giving have come up for a memorial before God. He no doubt prayed day after day after day. He may have assumed, like many people, nothing is happening, but the angel said, it's being stored up. It has been stored up, and now is the day it is going to be poured out in your life. So we store up treasure in heaven, first by prayer. Secondly, we store up treasures through giving. Matthew 19:21, Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. The same idea, storehouse in heaven. Now, we often think about, yeah, that greedy guy got a hold of him and said, just give all your money away so you have nothing. Listen, if he had nothing, how is he going to eat? How is he going to survive? Because Jesus says, you are going to lay up treasure. There's going to be a storehouse, for in a time of need, you can draw upon it. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves don't break in and steal. We often preach and think of that eternal reward. Give now. It'll be waiting for you in heaven when you die. That is true, but biblically, that's not all that it means. It also means that when we give, we are storing up in this life for kingdom purposes and needs. We can withdraw treasure in heaven. Listen, for many believers here, you have been storing up treasure. You don't realize. You have given. Many of you have walked away from your giving, assuming it's done and I'll see the benefit when I die. No, that is not true. You prayed and assumed nothing is happening. Listen, right now, there are treasures waiting for you right now. Amen. This is what God wants you to understand. 1804, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark, they were sent on an expedition where Thomas Jefferson negotiated with the French, purchased a massive amount of land, basically from the middle of modern-day America, stretching all the way to the Pacific coast. And so this was called the Louisiana Purchase. It had to be explored, so he sent these two men. They were given $2,500. That would be like being given today $600,000 to buy supplies. But more than that, President Jefferson gave Lewis a letter authorizing him to draw on any agency of the U.S. government anywhere in the world for anything he wanted for the expedition. He also authorized Lewis to call on citizens of any nation to furnish you with those supplies which your necessities may call for. He said, this letter is a general credit for you with my own hand. He's pledging the entire U.S. government behind this letter. It was the most unlimited letter of credit ever issued by an American president. Think about that. He said, here, with this piece of paper, anything you need, you can draw upon it. And our text says, you can lay up treasures in heaven. Let's talk secondly about treasure requirements. Now, in our text, it says this is not just automatic for every single person in the world. Treasure, number one, has a location. Verse 12, to give rain to your land. This is not saying rain will fall on any dirt anywhere in the world. It was the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised. It was the place where God wanted them to be. And he says, if you are in the place where I plan for you and I want you to be, then the rain will fall upon your land. You see, God's will has a location. You cannot serve God anywhere in the world that you choose. God is everywhere, but his will has a location. God has an opinion about where you should live in life. He has an opinion about where you should go to church. He has an opinion for every couple in the ministry where you should pastor. He has an opinion about what ministry you should be in the church, or whether that is in pastoral ministry. Our text says God only promises to bless in the location that he chooses. Verse 12, to give the rain to your land. See, you can only expect supernatural help if you are where God wants you to be. 1 Kings 17:9, our brother preached or just ministered from this verse. Arise and go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to feed you. God is talking now about miracle provision. Here, someone is going to view him with favor. God is going to do a supernatural miracle that this little bit of bread, little bit of flour and oil is not going to run out as long as the famine goes on. But God says, I will feed you there, not everywhere, there. See, the problem with us is we so often view life as a personal preference. There are people like, you know, it's hot here. I feel like moving where it's cold. There are people that they're in the cold. They think, I'm going to move where it's warm. I'm going to move to the ocean. I'm going to move where they're skiing. Right? And we think that God is like, oh, God's falling around with the blessing hose. Go, where are they going to be next week? That's not true. There are people in church that go, you know, I don't like this ministry. I'm out. There are people that, I don't like this church. I don't like that pastor. I'm out. Not this church, of course. There are people here, you're called to preach. You go, I don't want to preach. I want to make money. I want to do other things. There are pastors here. God's called you. Go overseas. You go, I don't want to go overseas. But you think that the rain is still expected to fall. That is not true. Let me ask you something. You may be stopping the rain of God's treasure in your life, in your walk with God, in your ministry, in your church. Here's the question. Are you where you're supposed to be? That where may be a city, maybe a church, maybe a ministry. Are you where you're supposed to be? Second question, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Because that is the land that God will rain on only where he chooses. You know what? It may be that some of the frustration you are experiencing in life is because you are out of place. So the answer is, be in the place where the rain can fall. For some of you, that means get in the place. Others of you, that means stay in the place. You got a problem with that? I'm out. Stay in the place. For some of you, get back to the place of blessing. Genesis 31:13, I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and made the vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Return for you might be returning to God's will in surrendering. It might be a location, it might be a ministry, because treasure has a location. Our text says a second thing. Treasure has a timing. Verse 12, to give the rain to your land in its season. You see, God moves in seasons. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, it will never cease. So this gives us perspective. You say, right now, nothing's happening that you can see. But seasons means something is being prepared. The winter is coming to an end. You look, there is nothing but under the ground. Something is happening. That means you have to recognize seasons. Farmers work with the seasons. They're looking for signs of the seasons. Luke 19:44, Jesus said of Jerusalem, because you didn't know or recognize the time of your visitation. Listen, if you have a relationship with God, God will prompt you. You need to listen for the voice of God. He will stir you. He will deal with you. He will speak to you. He tells us, deals with us to respond to ministry, perhaps to make a move, to pioneer, go overseas, or change ministry. He deals with people. I'm confident five times this week, God has dealt with people to give. The woman with the alabaster box, Jesus said, she recognized the season of giving, and she responded accordingly. So prayer is the first way you store up treasure. Giving stores up treasure. But I want to tell you, sometimes we can trigger the season. The Bible does record this truth. You can pray, and sometimes it's not time, and sometimes things are being prepared. Yes, yes, yes. But the Bible tells also of people that triggered a miracle dimension even out of time. The Syrophoenician woman, I need you to come heal my demon-possessed daughter. And he talked about this, you don't give food to the puppies, to the dogs. He was talking about non-Jews. He says, it's not time. That's basically what she says. But she pressed in and triggered a miracle for her daughter. Elijah prayed for rain and nothing happened, but he pressed in until he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Pastor Fred Craddock tells a great story. He was a pastor. Said he was visiting someone in the hospital, and he saw a woman banging on the chapel door, and she was shouting, "Let me in, let me in." And he walked up to the woman and he asked, "What's the matter?" And she looked at him. He said she looked like a crazy woman. She said, "My husband, he's had a heart attack and he's gonna die." Then he said, "Well, I'm a pastor. Would you like me to pray?" And she said, "Yes." And so he began to pray one of those nice pastoral prayers. "Oh God in heaven, I pray." And he said, she interrupted me. She took over. She said, "Lord, this is not the time to take my husband. He's not ready. He never prays or goes to church. He's not ready. Don't take him now. And what about me?" She said, "What am I going to do, God? I don't have any skills. I can't find any work." He said, she was really talking to God. She said, "What about the kids? They don't listen to me now when he's around. If he's gone, they're going to be wild." She said, "This is not the time to take my husband." Said he kind of just watched that lady and walked away. The next morning, he came back, and there was that same woman. She looked much more calm, walked up, and she smiled, and she said, "My husband, he's much better." And she said, "I guess the Lord heard one of us." And he said, "He heard you." Yeah. He heard you. He said, that woman was desperate. I love how he described it. He said, she had God by the lapels with both hands and was crying in God's face. She triggered something. Sometimes you can trigger a dimension in your life. Let's talk finally about treasure surplus. I declare to you on this final night of conference, God's will for your life and your ministry is abundant supply. God's will is never that you have only just enough for yourself. There are people here, you live paycheck to paycheck. Your whole life, you are waiting for payday because you are up to here. You are barely, that is not God's will for your life. There are churches here. There are pastors here. You pastor a church. That church has been there for years, and your church has absolutely no savings. That is not God's will. You can't afford to plant churches, some of you. You can't afford to purchase buildings if one came available. That is not God's will. Our text says God's will for our lives is blessing that has abundant supply, so you can be a conduit of blessing. Verse 12, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. This is not a banking issue. He's not saying God's will for your life is to become a bank. It's a blessing issue. Genesis 12, 2, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Listen, this is not just money, it's everything. God wants you to have abundant fruitfulness. In your church, God wants you to have more, not just, Lord, give us a convert. He wants you to have abundant fruitfulness so you can send impact teams and help other churches and other in other places. He wants your church to have abundant ministries so that you can bless other churches and people in other places. Our God has abundant resources. Can you say amen? There are abundant treasures in heaven. Think about when they're catching the fish. They caught so many, the nets were breaking, so many fish that the boats were sinking, feeding the crowds, 5,000 men plus women plus children. After they all ate as much as they wanted, there were 12 baskets of food left over because God has abundant resources. And because God is abundant, he is willing to share his abundance with us. Matthew 13, 12, whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. Abundance is God's will. Philippians 4, 19, I quoted last night, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches in glory is talking about treasures in heaven. But I love that the scripture says it is according to his riches, or in line with, or in measure. Think about Elon Musk, the owner of Tesla and X. His net worth in 2024, he is worth $235 billion. 2023, it was a slow year. He only made $97 billion last year. I want you to try to grasp how much money this man had. Let's just take the $97 billion he made. Elon Musk, every single day last year, he made $265,753,424 every single day. Elon Musk, we've been having church now a little over an hour. Elon Musk he just made $12 million. Every single hour. Elon Musk makes $184,550 every minute. He makes $3,836 per second. That's the wealth that it's staggering. So if you were to go to Elon and say, Elon, $10,000, could you give me $10,000? To you, that might be astronomical. In fact, if you were to ask Elon for $1 million, so you can't even grasp how many zeros that is, a million, that would not be according to his wealth. Listen, I'm trying to get you to understand, our God is abundant. Elon Musk could supply so much more. If you understand God's abundance, he could do so much more in fruitfulness. He could do so much more financially than you currently are experiencing in your life. See, what God wants is for us to enlarge our faith. Our confidence needs to be in what God is willing to do and what he wants to do. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That verse says God can do more. He can do more than you've ever asked for, even thought of asking for before. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves don't break in and steal. The main point of Matthew 6:20 is, of course, making sure our hearts are aligned with God concerning money instead of greed. Yes, that is true, but when you put Matthew 6:20 treasure with Deuteronomy 28:12, treasures, which you realize both words mean storehouse. This is not just talking about in the future when you die. The treasure of heaven is meant to make a difference in your life right now. It is faith that enables us to enter into the storehouse for current kingdom needs. Let me ask, how many pastors here in your church you desperately need a building, either a bigger building to rent or you need a building to buy right now? And okay, and how many of you have thought, but you lifted your hand, but you went, but it's so expensive. That's how we think, isn't it? There's treasure in heaven, abundant resources. I am not preaching a prosperity doctrine. I could never be a prosperity. Look at my hair. It wouldn't work. I don't have the hair. I don't have the teeth. I can't. This is not prosperity. I'm not Oprah Winfrey. A car for you and a car for you. But we need our loved ones saved. Is that right? We need treasure in heaven to save our families. We need converts. We need disciples. We need buildings to facilitate God's will. Verse 12, rain. Rain causes the seed to grow. Listen, you have outreach and outreach and outreach. There is past seed you have witnessed to your family or your friends again and again. That seed has been laying there. You've walked away thinking it does no good. God said, I want to rain upon the seed to produce fruit. We need a multiplication of ministries in order to be a blessing. We need a mighty outpouring of resources to accomplish God's will in the earth. Final thought, the key to releasing treasures in heaven is obedience. Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter contrasting obedience and disobedience. God says if you will obey, he will open his good treasure in heaven. Obedience is a posture of life. God, we belong to you. I live for you and I live for your will. We don't attend church occasionally because we need something. The posture of our life, we should wake up in the morning saying, God, I want to do your will. Obedience means that God can speak to us whatever, whenever, whether that's going, staying, witnessing, getting involved, giving, praying for people, sending, whatever it might be. Genesis 22:16-18, he said, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this, not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing, I will bless you, multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. I close with this story. The man that you saw pray tonight, Pastor Rungi Po, he pastors in Napier, New Zealand. Last year, I think it was, I was in New Zealand preaching in the conference. He picked me up. We're riding in the car. And Pastor Rungi asked me, he said, we need a building. Our building is way too small, but I also want to go full-time as a pastor. So he said, Pastor Greg, which one should be a greater priority that I should go for first? Should I go for being a full-time pastor or for a building? And I told Rangi, I said, surely if God created the heavens and the earth, surely God could do both. Do you think God's in heaven like, oh man, I don't know, that's just... I said, why don't you ask God for both? He went to a conference sometime after that, was challenged in the offering. He and his wife, they decided to give. God spoke to them, and they were challenged not only to give in the offering, but said they had a spare vehicle at home. We're going to sell that, and we're going to give it as well. And when he decided to give, he and his wife said they're going to give. He prayed and he said, God, we need a building and we want to go full time. That was what they agreed. 6 weeks later, he saw a building that had been damaged. Thought, I need to ask about that building. Called the landlord. The landlord said, I'm at the building right now. Someone's come in and vandalized it. I'm cleaning up the damage. Rangi went to the building and he asked this man, he said, would you like some help cleaning up? And he said, yes. He quickly rung around numbers of men from his church. He said, hurry up, right, get to this building right now. We're going to clean up. But I'm going to tell you, Rangi has some radical converts. Gang member, tatted out, absolutely. And so this nice white man who's working away, these gangsters descend and they start working and they start telling their testimony of what Jesus had done for them. And, man, when they finished cleaning the building, Rangi told him, he said, you know, we really need a building for our ministry. And the man said, leave it with me. 2 days later, he called Rangi and he said, meet me at the building. When he came to the, met the man at the building, this man handed him the keys and he said, I spoke to the trust and they agree you can have the building for free as long as you like. Put the picture up on the board here. This is the building. Man. This is a building, 6,000 square feet plus 2 basketball courts. Amen. He's going to have ex-gangsters who are very fit now. And it'll be good. Next picture, look at the inside. They needed to fix this up. Now, listen, not only did they give him the building for free, it needed to be fixed up. You saw the outside of this building needed some work. And so the church, Pastor Rangi and the church, they put some money in. The trust gave them $15,000 to fix up the building that they were giving them for free. Amen. Praise God. And because they now don't have to pay rent, Pastor Rangi was immediately able to go full time. Thank God. And not only do they have a building, he's able to go full time, because of God's blessing financially, they were able to launch their first church out into the ministry. Thank God. Listen, I am telling you, there is treasure in heaven. Some of you have been laying it up for years, thinking it's done, I'll never see it till I die. That is not true. And our God, the God of abundance, what is it that you need? Is it fruitfulness? Is it salvation of loved ones? Is it disciples? Is it buildings? Is it finances? I declare to you tonight, there is treasures in heaven. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes all across this place. Thank God. With our heads bowed, I'm asking right now, we're going to move on very quickly to some very exciting announcements in just a moment. But right now, before we do anything else, there are people that are here. You are not right with God. The greatest need in your life is not money. You need to fix your sin problem. If you were to go into eternity tonight, it would not be good for you. because you're living a sinful life breaking God's commands. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. You can be saved tonight. God will forgive you. Come into your heart and do a miracle from the inside out. How many people here tonight, you are not right with God and you want to get right? You want to pray and turn from your sin. Lift up your hand so I can see it. How many here? Hold it up. I need Jesus. I see that hand. How many others? I want to get right with God. Quickly, lift up your hand. Do it right now. Don't wait. We're going to move on. This is your chance. Some of you are backslidden. I talked about being away, not being where you should be. Some of you walked away from God. You can get back to God tonight. How many backsliders? Lift up your hand. I want to get right with God. Every one of you that lifted your hand, stand up to your feet and stay standing right where you're at right now. Stand up, stand up. I want to get right with God. Numbers of people over there, over there, over there. You want to get right with God. I want you to say this at your seat right now. Say this out loud. Say, Father God, I believe in Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for my sin. And I admit I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Give me the power to live a new life. And I choose to turn away from my sin from this day in Jesus' name. Amen. God, every person that just prayed that prayer, I'm asking that you touch them, Lord God. Thank you for salvation and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated.
Thank you for listening to the PHSA Potter's House Salmonarm podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Potter's House_Salmonarm to keep up to date on what we are doing, join the conversation, and discover how Jesus Christ can revolutionize your life.